I'm going to start out the show by saying the date, because that's what I do. It's Tuesday, June 30th, and I'm ready to talk fantasy football. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Hello, magazine contributors.
Adam, today is the pretty much halfway point of the year.
Yeah.
The first 6 months of the year end today, including an extra second at the end of the day.
Is that right?
We have a leap second.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that get accounted for?
The clock gives an extra tick.
Oh, well.
Scientists smarter than me decided this. I can't explain it. But the good news is, when you wake up tomorrow, and for those listening in July, on July 1st, then you've already woken up, you're in the same month as training camp starts.
What if you're in Australia?
Then you have no chance of listening to this in June. Sorry, Australia.
Yeah, I got one for you. What are you going to do with your extra second?
Sleep.
You just spent it. You just spent it. Way to go. Okay, we did a mock draft last week. Actually, no, we did a real draft because you jerks decided that we're playing the league out, which stinks. I was the only one that.
Yeah. Oh, wait, my team looks good? All right, we're playing this league out. That's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, I didn't want to play it out. I was the only one, so I guess we're playing it out.
No, I didn't want to play it out either.
My first real league of the year. Same with you guys?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll talk about the draft. You can see the results in the magazine, which you can get on newsstands or you can order on Amazon.com.
Well, the second edition of the magazine. Make sure you make that clear.
Okay, so tell us more about that then, please.
I don't know, Jamie. Go ahead.
You're the magazine guy.
No, you're the one that said it. Go ahead.
We have a second edition coming out at some point soon. That's all I know.
All right, so just stay tuned
for that. In that magical month of July, I believe.
Which we're already in, if you're in Australia.
You know what my favorite day in July is?
The 4th?
No. It has a 4 in it, though.
Somebody's got a birthday coming up?
Oh, yes. 24 days from now, Dave Richard will be 39.
Terrific.
Yay.
And we will celebrate in grand style.
What do you got planned for me to tear down this year?
We have to save those surprises.
I'm going to rein in the show here.
I will not touch your
desk.
Bring it in. Promise I will not
touch. Don't touch any of my stuff.
I will not touch any of your things in the office.
We're going to look at risers and
fallers. What are you doing to my car? Oh, if you do things to my car, I will unleash hell upon thee. I will. I know where you kind of live.
Okay,
you're invited.
I will call your gate and say
you're invited over at any point in time.
All right, listen.
Bring your swim trunk.
Shush. So we did two drafts. We did the same format. We did the second one last week and the other one right after the NFL draft. So what we're going to do is look at risers and fallers, players who have made a substantial drop or a substantial rise in their draft position in a 12-team standard scoring mock draft. Two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, kicker, defense, one flex, which could be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. And obviously this is a one quarterback league with 6 points per passing touchdown. That's our standard format. First, though, email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're going to do a mailbag show tomorrow because we're going twice a week for the next few weeks, and then we'll ramp it up even more.
I'm sorry, Adam. Next week we'll do a mock draft live on the air.
Yeah, that's the goal. Get some listeners involved. It'll be fun.
Cool.
fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. You think you know someone, Jamie. You've been working with the guy for years. You listen to him on the podcast because you're on the podcast with him. You think you know how Dave Richard's going to draft, but then he totally changes things and screws you over. And it was very surprising.
Figuratively screws you over?
Yes, I would
Thank
say
you.
So. So here's what happened. I had the 10th-ish pick in the draft. Pulling up the results now. I think I had the 9th or the 10th pick in this 12-team league.
Nice preparation, Adam.
9th pick.
This would be the 57th overall pick.
I had the 9th pick in the draft. So I start my team, Gronkowski, Julio Jones. Round 3, I took Lamar Miller. Round 4, I took Joseph Randall. Now, this is the point in round 5. Would you say, Dave, 57th overall? Yes. This is the point of round 5 where I always take Isaiah Crowell.
You've done it in every draft we've had so far.
And Jamie IMs me and he says, Crowell here. So what I wanted to do, though, was take both Crowell and Duke Johnson with my next two picks. I had the 9th pick. Dave had the 11th pick. So I'm thinking to myself, well, there's no way I'm going to get Duke Johnson around 6 because I know Dave is going to take him. at the end of round five. And I know he doesn't like Crowell, so I'm going to take Duke Johnson here, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to get Isaiah Crowell with the fourth pick of the sixth round. So I do take Duke Johnson, 57th overall, and of course, Dave Richard takes Isaiah Crowell at the beginning of round six, two spots before I was going to take him. So I know you don't like Crowell, and you didn't even get Duke Johnson. Why would you do that?
Well, let's talk about the team that I built with my early picks. I didn't like any of the running backs that were available to me when I was up in round one. So I took Antonio Brown and decided to go receiver and take Demaryius Thomas. I think it was Demaryius Thomas with my second pick. Round three, Frank Gore fell to me. I was extremely happy with that. I've actually moved Gore up in my rankings, this month. And he is my 12th ranked running back. I'm taking a chance by putting him up there. I know a lot of people will think of Frank Gore and say, oh, he's old and he's been good, but not great. But I think as long as he's upright in Indianapolis, he's going to have a monster year. And so round four, I had an interesting decision. Kelvin Benjamin was my highest ranked player, but I already had two stud wide receivers. The highest ranked running back I had on my board was our old friend and the guy we talk about in every podcast, Joik Bell. And I still like Bell, but I had Benjamin ranked higher, and I decided, what the hell, let's go with three receivers. Maybe Bell will slide back to me somehow, or I can find a running back later on. Because, Adam, I'm confident in myself. I think I can find a running back at any point in the draft.
Even if it's someone you don't even like.
Even if it's somebody I don't even like. But I do like Bell. He just went four spots after me. Benjamin went 38th overall. And Bell went 42nd. I guess that's four spots. What the hell do I know? So round five comes up, and I'm desperate for a running back, as always. And of course, I'm looking at the Browns guys. And your idea was so good, I had the exact same idea. I was hoping that Duke and Isaiah Crowell would both fall to me in round five. I would take one in round five and one in round six. I think I would have taken Crowell in five and Duke in six. Locked up that amazing Cleveland Browns backfield. I can't believe we're giving this much time to this backfield, but whatever. Anyway, Matt Ryan ended up being there and Duke Johnson wasn't. So I decided to take the best player available. I recognized that the fantasy owner drafting after me, I had the 11th pick, like I said. So there was a guy having two picks after me in all of the odd numbered rounds. I took Matt Ryan before he could. And he didn't take Isaiah Crowell, so I did. And Crowell is my number two running back on this team. Gore is my number one. I just made a bunch of people throw up in their cars with that statement, but my wide receivers are awesome. And I really like, I actually like how my team turned out.
Well, I'll trade you Duke Johnson for Crowell.
Wow, an offer. Legit offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a real league now.
Yeah.
I gotta think about that. I think I might have to take that.
Yeah, I think you should.
Duke better.
Then there's no reason why you shouldn't take it.
Then why would you take, if that's how you feel, then the only reason why you took Duke out of Crowell is because you thought that Crowell would fall back to you.
Yes. Exactly.
He took the guy he didn't think you would take.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, you'll read in the magazine that I called that the worst pick of the draft.
What, Which Duke one? Johnson? Duke.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even disagree. I wouldn't even disagree with that. I mean, obviously, I see the upside there. We've talked about that enough. Well, we can get into the risers and fallers. We can talk about our teams as well. Is there anything that really stood out to you guys in the draft?
There were a lot of rookies that were taken sooner than expected, and Duke was one of them. Jay Ajayi was taken, like 84th overall. I thought that was crazy. But one of the picks that I did not like, and Jamie will fight me on this one, I think, is Travis Kelce, whose hype I think is starting to get a little out of control. He went 49th overall, and if he hadn't have gone 49th overall, I'm pretty confident Jamie would have taken him 50th overall.
Without a doubt. I didn't like the pick for Heath, who's not here to defend himself.
But you would have liked it for you one pick later?
Well, because he took Graham. So.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Now, I did have this discussion with him. It depends on how you sort of wanted to build your team. I think Travis Kelce's got top 50 potential for sure. I think he's got the ability to be the third best tight end. To me, it's not even a question. And I do think he's going to have a tremendous season. So he feels, and I tend to agree with it. So I guess I probably shouldn't say that was a bad pick for him. It's just kind of locking him into, definitely using two tight ends. is that is Travis Kelce better than the running backs that were on the board at the time? Is he better than
That's
the receivers on the board at the time? And I say yes.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't like the flexibility, the lack of flexibility, because now he can't, you know, move those guys around. He's stuck playing Graham and Kelce. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. But I do think that Kelce is better than the players that were on the board at the time.
Let me run some of those players past you guys.
Right.
Because I think this is just a good exercise, because he's obviously one of the polarizing names for us. He's a polarizing name for people who play fantasy.
So I think just you. I think most people like him.
I think that I like him.
Do they like him better than Andre Ellington? Do they like him better than Sammy Watkins? Than DeSean Jackson?
No.
Than Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
Not me.
Well, again, it comes down to position scarcity versus that. In Heath's situation, that's a different conversation, because he's getting more roster flexibility by going one of those other players. In most situations, though, if you're trying to lock up one of the elite level tight ends, and I think he is, and I think based on what I'm seeing on other sites that are showing average draft position, he is being viewed that way as well. They view him based on what position he plays more valuable than the guys you just listed. I understand those players should have a higher ceiling, but tight end wise, he should finish I'd be shocked if he's not a top five guy, barring injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to challenge Jimmy Graham to be the second best tight end. I really do.
Now, you guys know that I'm in a league where it's special scoring for tight ends. So in that type of a format, of course, I'm going to gravitate toward Kelce. But I don't see him being worth a pick this high, just because of position scarcity, because there are so many tight ends out there.
Not that do what he does.
Yeah, I don't
what
think
does
he's
he do?
Be
what,
quite
what
as
is
consistent
this?
As you when guys
his,
think.
When his
this is a conservative team.
When his snap count went up in the last seven games of the season, he had three of those games where he had, I don't know double digit wise, you could probably look it up, but he had eight or more in three of those.
Mm-hmm.
His targets went up. His red zone production went up.
What about the fantasy points? This is the last how many games?
Last
of the
seven games of the season.
All right,
once he was a year and a half removed from the, I believe it was ACL injury, a year and a half removed from the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
They finally put him on the field at all times when they were on offense. And so you look at all of his metrics went up at that particular time.
His last seven games of the season, standard scoring league, here are his fantasy points. 1, 6, 3, 9, 9, 3, and then 8 points in week 17. So listen,
and that,
for
and
tight
that,
ends,
there, there,
tight
there
ends
were two fumbles in there, right? Look at the fumbles in there.
I there might be, yeah. but with tight ends, if you've got 8 or more points last season, that's good. You got to remember
that's good.
No, so three of those seven games, he was passable, and certainly better than what you might be able to go with playing waiver wire roulette with tight ends and going the stream route.
Sure.
I just don't think he's worth that pick right now.
Let me just say this. Jimmy Graham was the number three tight end in standard scoring leagues last year behind Gronkowski and Gates. He scored 144 fantasy points, number three tight end. That's 889 yards on 85 catches with 10 touchdowns. That would be a great year for Kelce. That was the number 19 wide receiver in fantasy last year. So, I mean,
That's about where we were in the draft, though, right? I mean, we're talking DeSean Jackson, Mark Cooper. Yeah, we're in the 15 to 20 range.
Yeah, it was right around there. But if you're just talking about a flex, I think you're right that pick did not make sense for Heath.
Well, like I said, Heath values Kelce probably more than I do. And I think you're looking at it as, for him, he was better than those guys. If I was in Heath's position, I had taken Graham, I would not have taken Kelce, because I don't want to lock myself into having to play those two guys.
Of course not.
I think you'd rather be in a situation where if he took Amari Cooper, if he took DeSean Jackson, Roddy White, I know was a guy that was on the board as well. If he had gone with a receiver there, and the only reason I bring up receiver is he didn't have a receiver at the time.
Yeah, well, I think we have to ask him about this. Hopefully he'll come on the show tomorrow for our mailbag show and he can respond. But I do think that, do you really think that Kelce is capable of 85 for 889 yards and 10 touchdowns?
Yes.
No. The catches for sure, yes. The yardage, probably yes. But not the touchdowns. He's not getting 10 touchdowns.
They have a quarterback that doesn't throw touchdowns to his receivers. He threw three red zone touchdowns to Kelce, and he threw three red zone touchdowns to Anthony Fasano. So I think if you just look at where Kelce was last year, how many touchdowns did he finish with?
I want to say like
five.
Six, five or six.
Okay,
five.
So five. So let's just say and I'm being optimistic here, obviously. If he gets those three red zone touchdowns that went to Fasano.
Now it's eight.
And then you're also talking about, again, he was at 50% snaps through the first 10 games, mm-hmm. 9 games. 90% snaps.
What about Macklin?
Huh?
What about Macklin?
What about Macklin?
They actually have a good receiver now.
Right.
Well, again, you know, we had this conversation with Heath. I think Macklin's an upgrade over Dwayne Bowe. I can't imagine anybody would say that, you know, with a straight face, that Bowe is better than Jeremy Macklin.
Just Dwayne Bowe.
And you're still looking at, though, how much dramatically different is this offense going to be just because of Jeremy Macklin? And I also think that Macklin will help Travis Kelce because that's a guy that a defense has to account for a little bit more, whereas last year with Dwayne Bowe, he really didn't.
Okay. I think the only way Kelce has this big banner year is if the run game falls apart for Kansas City, and they have to throw the ball a ton. And I don't think that's happening.
Their secondary's bad, especially if Eric Berry's not ready to go. So you're looking at a defense that's not going to be as good. We saw last year that they weren't as good.
I don't like the pick either. I'm just looking over Heath's team. Forget about the fact that Kelce went before 50th overall. The fact that he had Graham already on his team killed his receivers. Roddy White, Jarvis Landry are his top two wide receivers.
And this,
I wouldn't. No one here would pay that price for Kelce.
When you need
a receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the bottom line again. But in terms of his flex, and if he believes in Kelce, like you said, Adam, if he thinks Kelsey's going to put Jimmy Graham type numbers on the board and would be the 19th best receiver, what's the best thing for your team? Is it to completely overlook one position and be, you know, dominant at everywhere else? Because he's got the number one quarterback. He's got, in my opinion, the number one running back. He's got the number two tight end. Those were his first three picks. And then 4 and 5, he took Jonathan Stewart, who I think is going to have a fantastic season if he stays healthy. And then his flex is a player in Travis Kelce who he believes can be an upper echelon flex. And there so is, I think that's where Heath is hoping to win those spots on a week-to-week basis, and he completely sacrificed receiver.
Yeah.
If you're going to sacrifice a position, that is the one to sacrifice because it is the easiest position to find off waivers, it's the deepest position in fantasy, and he could play matchups on a week-to-week basis. So I don't mind the strategy.
I
would not have liked to lock myself into playing the two tight ends in this type of a league, but I don't think it's horrible if you believe in that type of player and he believes in Travis Kelce.
The only way I could justify this strategy, because again, the point is you're taking Kelce, the best case scenario, it seems like he's going to finish around the same amount of fantasy points as those wide receivers who are still on the board there. So the only way I could justify it is if he wants to trade Travis Kelce, and I'll steer this conversation in another direction. Do you ever draft with the intention of trading? Say, I'm going to take two tight ends or two elite quarterbacks and then try to trade them later in the year and get better value.
You know what? If you draft a guy late with that frame of mind, that's okay. All right. I picked Phillip Rivers in this draft. It was like round 13 or 14 when I got him on my team. Now, I didn't do it, you know, rubbing my hands together thinking, yes, this is my chance to trade Phillip Rivers away. I picked him up because if Matt Ryan, who was my quarterback, falters in any way, I can just turn to Rivers. But if both do well, now I can trade one away. It's not designed. I didn't pick him up with the design of trading him. You can do that with a couple other guys. You can do that with handcuff running backs, Niall Davis, Alfred Blue, guys like that. But if you're doing it with any of your first eight picks, you're making a mistake.
So some risers and fallers, and we will read some emails later at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Jeremy Hill rises from 17th overall in our first edition of this draft, right after the NFL draft, to 10th overall last week. He jumps ahead of LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, and a bunch of elite wide receivers. So that's Jeremy Hill going from the middle of the second round to the 10th overall pick.
And I think the more I look at Jeremy Hill, the more I like him. I think Cincinnati is going to end up being a very run-heavy team.
Okay.
Just between him and Giovanni Bernard, they bulked up their offensive line in the draft. Their defense is going to be getting Geno Atkins back is going to help their run defense. I think they're focused on running the ball, and I think Jeremy Hill is worth that pick. I was hoping he'd slide to me at 11. My entire draft changes if he's there.
And you have him ahead of McCoy. Jamie, you still have McCoy. Three spots ahead of Hill, 7th for McCoy, 10th for Hill.
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate really quickly?
Well, I think McCoy is almost guaranteed 300-plus touches. I don't know if Jeremy Hill is just because of Giovanni Bernard.
I'm going to guess this was the biggest riser. Not 100% sure, but Joseph Randall. We kind of said in the first edition of this draft that he went really late. He went 90th overall, 40th overall in this draft, and that was to me. Not a pick that I loved. Actually, the hardest pick I had all draft was that fourth round, early fourth round. You've got guys like Randall, Joik Bell, Spiller, Latavius Murray, Jonathan Stewart, all on the board. I knew I was going running back, and it took me almost the entire minute and a half. And I went with Joseph Randall. Darren McFadden, by the way, went in round five in both the early edition and the second edition of this draft. So what did you guys think of Randall, 40th overall?
It's not a bad spot for him.
I think it's going to be right about where he ends up going. As long as he doesn't get hurt in training camp, as long as McFadden doesn't overtake him. I mean, we told you guys, I went to Dallas, came back and told everybody, this is going to be the guy until further notice. This is who the Cowboys like.
I strayed from your rankings, though, both of your rankings. According to your rankings, I reached on Randall.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I just don't
know. Who was still there?
Latavius was still there, Todd Gurley, Joik Bell. Picked Randall over Joik.
I would.
I know you would, but I wouldn't. TJ Yeldon went one spot ahead. I thought that was a reach, too.
Yeah, I would have preferred Randall to Yeldon. But, you know, Jonathan Stewart, Murray, Spiller, and Bell were the next four running backs off the board. Oh, interesting. I mean, I think the point is, obviously, he's a riser from that first draft because he went really late. And
well, what was the main motivator for you in taking him?
The offensive line for the Cowboys.
Yes, the obvious one is that the offensive line for the Cowboys, and the less obvious one is I don't take Darren McFadden seriously at this point. That could change in training camp and preseason, but at this point, I'm looking at a guy who can't stay healthy and hasn't been good for like 3 years.
So you'll stick with the guy who can stay healthy, get that work behind that line. Makes sense.
Yeah. CJ Spiller rose 10 picks from 56th overall to 46th overall. Meanwhile, Mark Ingram, same backfield, was still a third-round pick, but now Spiller's in the fourth round.
Yeah, that was a Will Brinson special. He took Spiller over Latavius Murray, Jonathan Stewart. I don't like that at all. I like Spiller. I expected him to go a little bit later.
A lot of hype around him right now based on what the reports are out of New Orleans.
And now, if this were a PPR league, that would not surprise me. He might even go higher than 46th overall in a PPR league.
How about Charles Sims? He went from the first pick of round 8 in our first edition of this draft to the last pick of round 6. So basically a one-round difference for Sims. Meanwhile, Doug Martin rises from the last pick of round 9 to late round 7. So both Sims and Martin rose, and still Sims is going ahead of Martin, which is an interesting situation. It's not like Sims really took the job and ran with it last year or anything.
Well, he never did because he was hurt. And Doug Martin, by all accounts, maybe the biggest winner of anybody this offseason, based on what the word is coming out of Tampa Bay, how he looks, how prepared he seems to be. There was one report that said he had the best offseason of his NFL career. And so Sims was unimpressive last year. It's not really fair to judge him.
Right. I don't think he was.
Because 100%. Of the ankle injury. But he had one game where he got double digits in carries. He scored a touchdown in that game, but he averaged under 3 yards a carry. And Martin, you know, look, for what it's worth, he's in a contract year. He came in 10 pounds lighter. And I think he's right now locked into that starting job. Sims was drafted to be a third down back. You know, we heard time and time again and again this offseason that how much this regime likes him, doesn't like Doug Martin. But, you know, for what the potential of him being on the trade block, they didn't trade him. Who knows if they got an offer or not? I'd be surprised if they didn't get a sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick.
Right, they could have gotten some crap for him.
Right, in the Zach Stacy range of what the Jets did. You would think maybe a team like New England or somebody that was, you know, in the market for running back may have come calling. You know, if he's committed and he can stay healthy, not that he's going to get back to his rookie year numbers of 1,900 total yards and 12 touchdowns, but if he's the starter and the guy that's going to get the majority of touches, he should go ahead of Sims.
All right, I screwed up.
Yeah, you did.
So he actually, Charles Sims fell from the, this makes more sense now. I said he went from the first pick of round 8 to the last pick of round 6. He actually went from the last pick of round 6 to the first pick of round 8. So he dropped a round. Meanwhile, Doug Martin moved up, 2 rounds. So that
And you're the
sense.
One that took Doug Martin.
I am the one who took Doug Martin.
So were you trying to get Sims the following round? Were you hoping he'd fall back to you?
No, not really. I mean, I guess I would have thought about it, but I don't know. I just look at Sims right now as another disappointment from a horrible class of running backs, and If I had invested an earlier pick in Doug Martin, maybe I would have looked at Sims. But I didn't feel like getting $2 running backs.
I think the thing that's going to help Sims, if Martin stays healthy, if Martin gets hurt, then Sims will benefit. But the thing that will help Sims if Martin stays healthy is Tampa Bay's defense being as bad as it is. Because if he's going to be the passing downs guy, he'll be on the field, you know, quite a bit. Not that Doug Martin can't catch the ball because he showed that as a rookie. But they think they want to play both these guys. I actually, this is the point in the draft where I, you know, made a mistake from my own personal viewpoint. I thought that I can get one of Martin or Devontae Freeman because this is another guy that's had a very good offseason just in terms of where he's performed and based on where the guy he's competing with has not shown what I think he's capable of doing yet in terms of Tevin Coleman. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take Martellus Bennett here. He's my number five tight end.
This is round seven?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And thinking, okay, I have these two guys on the board. I want one of them to come back to me. I'll be very happy if they do. And you took Doug Martin and somebody else took Devontae Freeman. And I said, I probably should have pulled the trigger and I could have got probably Martellus Bennett fall back to me.
Yeah,
especially after I saw Jordan Cameron didn't get drafted. That really made me mad.
Yeah, let's talk about the Falcons because Devontae Freeman was another guy who was a riser. He went up a round from the ninth round to the eighth round this time around. Meanwhile, Tevin Coleman's still going way ahead of Devontae Freeman, but he fell from the 43rd overall pick, so toward the latter part of the fourth round, to the 55th overall pick. Now we're into the fifth round here. So again, Freeman goes up a round. Coleman falls eight picks from the fourth round to the fifth round. Dave, what's your take on the Falcons situation?
It's not what I thought it was after the draft, which is Tevin Coleman's going to be the main guy. Devontae Freeman will be the passing downs, change of pace guy, and Coleman clear cut the guy to get. Freeman's going to give him a fight. That's what I've been able to gather from reading everything that I've read. I think eventually Coleman will be the guy. He just has to learn how to run the way Kyle Shanahan wants him to, which is to work in the zone block scheme. I think he can do it. He's got to learn how to make one cut and go. The nuances of that, from what I understand, are pretty easy for running backs to grasp. But it's something that Devontae Freeman's been doing already. He did it in college at Florida State. And, you know, I was kind of hoping that the Falcons wouldn't draft a running back because Freeman, I thought all along, could do the job. But I was a Coleman guy when he came out. I thought he was one of the best running backs in the draft. So when I saw him go to Atlanta, of course I liked him. And I still do. And I'm not saying that the pick in round five, 55th overall for Coleman was bad. But I think there's still appeal for Devontae Freeman at this point. This is one you got to watch in training camp in the preseason.
But you kind of alluded to it. You said you expect eventually for Coleman to be the guy. There is nothing that Devontae Freeman did last year that says he's a good NFL running back capable of being...
He didn't have a ton of opportunities, if I recall.
I was going to say that, and no, he didn't. He only had one game with more than eight carries. He had 11 carries for 12 yards against Tampa Bay in week three on a Thursday night, which is supposed to be a good night for running backs. He had eight carries for 26 yards against Arizona. He just didn't do much. He didn't have that many opportunities, but he didn't do much. And he's a small guy. So it does still make sense for Coleman to be drafted ahead of Freeman.
A note, he's a small guy, but he's thick.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that MJD booty going.
The thing that gives him an advantage, and Dave sort of alluded to this, he will play on passing downs because he is a very good pass protector because he had to do that at Florida State. And so that helped him a little bit last year with the limited playing time that he had. The one wild card with all of this, and it was a little bit of a wild card last year, is Anton Smith. Is they brought him back. That's a guy that I think will get a little bit more work than what we saw last year when he was just, you know, scoring these long touchdowns. And I think he can be a little bit of an annoyance to whoever takes Coleman and or Freeman. If you're drafting right now, I think, and this is the way I have it ranked, if this is a PPR draft, I'm taking Freeman over Coleman. It's a lesser version of the New Orleans situation where I would take Spiller over Ingram. I think Coleman is the better talent. I think Coleman will see more playing time in standard leagues. But I think if Atlanta's defense is not rebound and they're playing catch-up all the time, especially if their offensive line's bad again, then Coleman is not going to see a ton of playing time as a rookie by comparison to Devontae Freeman.
And the line is a huge issue in Atlanta. Huge.
Yeah. Okay.
It might not be very good.
Guys, take a look at the rest of the risers if you've got that in front of you. And
sure.
If you want to pick out a couple, and then we can move on to the players who fell.
Greg Olson moving up from round 6 to round 8. I think there's going to be a certain percentage of drafts where people
moving
forget
up
about
from
Greg
6
Olson.
To 8.
Moving up from 8 to 6.
That's what I meant to say. There will be drafts this year where he will fall because people look at him and they go, it's just Greg Olson. And he's coming off a career year. I don't think he's going to duplicate what he did in 2014, especially with all the talk about Devin Funchess now in Carolina and how he could be a big impact player there. But I think he's still going to be a very, very good tight end.
Absolutely.
And I 850 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, I wouldn't rule it out for Olson. And if you can get him in late round 6 to round 7 to him falling into your lap in round 8, you're going to be the man.
Okay. Anything else?
David Cobb went up a couple rounds. I think I took him in both drafts. I think I found him in round 10 in our early version of this draft. And, he didn't go in round 10. He went in round 8. Now he's in round 7. I took him because I was desperate for a running back and actually got Bishop Sankey in round 9 a couple picks later. If you want to talk about crappy running back tandems, Tennessee is a place to look. But I do still like Cobb, and I don't mind taking him with the 7th round pick. Especially since in this draft, a lot of running backs went off the board.
And Seattle's DST went from the middle of the round 11 to the middle of round 8. That is too early for a DST. Right?
Like, of course.
Yeah. All right.
Of course.
Let's go to some fallers then. Yeah,
there's going
to
be a percentage of drafts where somebody takes a DST too soon. Just one of those things. It's going back to what you started off this draft discussion with, Adam. You think you know people, but you don't. And, you know, human nature's crazy.
Fallers in our 2nd draft. Rob Gronkowski, not a big drop, but he went from 6th overall to 9th overall. Forte, C.J. Anderson, and Marshawn Lynch went ahead of him this time around. And I got to tell you guys, I drafted Gronkowski and really did not like my team that much. In fact, I hated my team.
Who was the running back group that you passed over to take Julio Jones in the 2nd round?
DeMarco Murray.
And that's the guy you would have taken?
No, he's the only running back I would have taken. But, okay, we're talking 4th pick of the 2nd round, and we've now reached the point where it's DeMarco Murray and then the Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde, Melvin Gordon group.
Okay, so let's just say for argument's sake you took Murray, and then you took Miller in round 3?
Yes.
What receivers are on the board there?
Jordan Matthews, Kelvin Benjamin.
So you could have had Benjamin. You could have had Gronk, Benjamin, and Murray, DeMarco, as opposed to Gronk, Julio, and Lamar Miller.
I don't want DeMarco Murray that early. I'd rather have Jeremy Hill, I think, than Rob Gronkowski. Or McCoy.
Look, it's fine. It's just I think the problem is when you take Gronk, you almost have to take a running back with your 2nd pick just because of the nature of how your team will shake out based on who's available to you in round 3 and round 4 by comparison to who's available to you in round 2. I would have done the same thing. I would have taken Julio because I don't take DeMarco Murray in that spot either.
Right.
I understand, then what you're facing.
You have to resign yourself to the fact that you're not going to have a star-studded, stellar team if you take Gronkowski with your 1st round pick.
Well, I disagree because I think it depends. You just have to have some luck in who falls to you. He's got, there are some people who think, and I don't think it's a stretch, if Julio Jones plays 16 games, he could be the number one wide receiver.
Sure.
So then you have the number one tight end, the number one wide receiver, and then you just have to sort of get lucky on the running backs that you get. And so you have Lamar Miller and who?
Joseph Randle.
Yeah, you could easily. I mean, Randall's not going to be DeMarco Murray, but Randall could be a top 10 running back.
And pretty soon I'll have Isaiah Crowell.
Huh?
Pretty soon I'll have Isaiah Crowell.
True.
Once I trade Duke Johnson for him. And I think you have to be honest. You have to know your team and know your league. Because we go crazy on running backs and CBSSports.com. Know who's going to be available in the 2nd round at running back if you take Gronkowski in the 1st round. So I knew it would be DeMarco Murray and just him. Because you cannot possibly go to the next tier of running backs. The Gordon, Ingram, Miller, Hyde, Gore group in round 2. And I'm not going to take DeMarco Murray that early in round 2, and I don't think you guys would either. I know Jamie wouldn't. Dave, would you take DeMarco Murray 4th pick of round 2?
Yeah, I would if I took Gronk in round 1.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I wanted to make sure I locked up a running back. Somebody who I could look at and say, okay, that's a guy who could potentially give me, double digits from week to week. Like, I see the warts with DeMarco Murray. I still think he's worth a second round pick. At the later in round one you can get Gronkowski, the far better off you will be.
Sure. And the point I was going to make.
When he went sixth overall.
That was pre-Brady suspension.
Though. And it was pre-Brady suspension. It doesn't matter. It was still too soon.
Disagree.
And now, in a standard league?
Absolutely.
Way too soon. And now, in that he goes ninth overall, I actually don't think it's too soon. I think it's okay.
I could see the team working out okay. So the point I was going to make, though, is that in this draft, unlike many of the drafts you listeners will be in, Luck and Rodgers don't go until the late second round. You know, so maybe other wide receivers might get pushed up. In other words, better running backs could be available to you in the second round if you do take Rob Gronkowski and you're not drafting with CBSSports.com.
Sure. And if somebody takes Jimmy Graham too early.
Right. Yeah. So it's...
You're also going to see people take receivers a little sooner than we do, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. All right, then. So, looking at some other fallers, Joik Bell was a big one. 28th overall, first time we drafted, 42nd overall. And Dave, you passed him up, right?
I did. Kelvin Benjamin was higher on my board.
But you needed running backs. You had two receivers at that point.
I thought that Kelvin Benjamin, I think Kelvin Benjamin has ridiculous potential. And I know Joik Bell does.
Overweight situation.
That's in May. Let's see how he looks, or May and June. He's going to hopefully straighten it out. Obviously, if he comes to camp with a wheelbarrow full of, you know, ho-hos and ding-dongs, then the guy's not going to be a top five potential wide receiver.
Which do you prefer?
Are ding-dongs the ones that look like a hockey puck?
I have no idea. I prefer the ones that are, like, longer, you know, not like the less round ones.
The ho-ho is basically like a square chocolate cake with the cream on top and then rolled. And then I believe it's dipped in chocolate. The ding-dong is two circular chocolate cakes with cream in the middle dipped in chocolate.
Which are the ones that look like... I don't even know how to... They're like longer than... They're not like circles, you know?
The ho ho.
Is that a ho ho? Okay, well, but that's the one I like. Okay.
You're the ding dong.
Well, good talk.
Good talk. Good talk. Good talk.
Joik Bell fell. Back to that.
Now hold on. He said recently that he believes he's going to run for 1,200 yards this season. Jamie, your reaction?
I mean, good luck to him.
Have goals, right?
I hope he does. I just don't see it. I don't see a guy that hasn't been able to practice all off season. With a legitimate challenger to his, you know, role.
I don't care that he hasn't practiced this offseason, to be honest with you. If it's training camp and he misses time in training camp, then I'm going to start, you know, falling off a cliff or whatever.
That's fine.
But he's touchdown dependent. The way I see it, he'll be lucky if he totals, he'll be lucky if he totals 1,200 yards. Probably lucky. He'll probably be okay if he totals 1,000. But he needs touchdowns. He's got to score 8 touchdowns. That's what you're looking for from him.
Todd Gurley goes from 36th overall to 44th overall. It's tough to take a guy who might not play for a month as your third round pick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where would you guys take Todd Gurley?
It should open up your eyes more to Trey Mason and see him as an early season value since we just don't know where Gurley's at. Now, again, training camp's going to tell the story. Rams training camp opens and Todd Gurley's out there running around all over the place and practicing with the team, then it all changes. But if he starts on the PUP list, I think you've really got to look at Trey Mason as somebody who, if you're in the situation where you take Gronkowski in round one and Julio Jones in round two, you've got to target Trey Mason because he's an early season starter for your fantasy team because Todd Gurley won't play. He's one of those guys.
I found quarterbacks and tight ends to be pretty unpredictable draft to draft, and Russell Wilson falls from the first pick of round five, or the last pick of round five, to round nine. So they get 3.5.
As a backup, too.
Oh, to Scott White?
Yeah.
Of course. Scott White always takes two.
Scott's got to change his draft strategy.
You can't tell him that. He'll never listen. I've told him this.
You know, the thing is, though, if he's getting Russell Wilson in round nine, he could just as easily take Teddy Bridgewater in round 10. And he still has two good quarterbacks, and he didn't waste an early pick on Drew Brees should be fine, but you could have, you know, really solidified the rest of your, you know, running back, receiver, tight end group and still had a great quarterback situation.
Yeah. He took Drew Brees at 45th overall, which, again, no problem right. with taking Brees at 45. Could have had Latavius Murray to strengthen his running backs. Could have had Jonathan Stewart. Could have had Travis Kelce, since he's a legend now. Amari
well,
Cooper.
He's no Joik Bell, but
Deshaun
I mean,
no. Jackson. He could have had Joik Bell,
more,
too.
More fantasy points, Joik Bell or...
No, he couldn't have had Bell.
More fantasy points, Joik Bell or Travis Kelce.
I'll take Kelce.
I'll take Bell.
I'm on Team Dave here. I'll go Bell more than Kelce.
Hold on. I'm taking Bell as of now. But if he's
if
he's skipping into training camp,
I named it Team Dave. You can't jump off Team Dave.
Why Dave jumps off Team Dave?
I jump off Team Dave all the time. Which way is the wind blowing? Okay, we're going this way now.
So I'll yell at Scott tomorrow on the baseball podcast about drafting.
That'll play well. Good luck with that.
Let's see other fallers here. How about Charles Johnson? Middle of round 6, the first time around, end of round 8, Charles Johnson.
I think I did it in both drafts.
You got him in both?
I believe so.
Definitely got him in this one.
I like it better this time around than last time.
No, you didn't, Jamie. That was Heath Cummings' pick. Remember I made fun of him for that?
Oh, he did it in the first time, right.
Yeah.
But you wanted him.
Yeah, I like Charles Johnson. I think they have a big year.
I like him too. I like him starting in round 7.
Okay. David Johnson falls from the first pick of round 7 to the 9th pick of round 8. Cardinals running back David Johnson.
This was another guy in my Devontae Freeman, Doug Martin queue that I was hoping for. And so it didn't work out.
But again, another player who is certainly worth taking as of now between 80th and 100th overall.
Now, Rashad Jennings fell from 4th pick of round 7 to the 8th pick of round 8. Shane Vereen moved up around. And Andre Williams, let me just double check on Andre Williams. He rose, I believe, one round as well, but he was a late pick. I think we'll skip this for now. We have an email. We could do it on our mailbag show tomorrow and kind of talk more about the Giants' backfield and what you guys expect. Julius Thomas fell from late round 7 to early round 9. Julius Thomas now in round 9 for Julius Thomas. Seems like pretty good value.
Well, it depends on how you value him. Again, you know, the fact that Jordan Cameron didn't get drafted, I like Cameron better than Julius Thomas. So, there were a few tight ends that were drafted, Thomas being one, that I would rather have Jordan Cameron.
99th overall, Adam.
For who?
Julius Thomas.
Oh, Julius. Do you get the sense that, tight ends are going to be completely unpredictable? Like Jordan Cameron, you mentioned he wasn't drafted. He was the last pick of round 7 in the first version of this draft. So he's probably the biggest faller.
Potentially. You know, I think with Julius Thomas, if you give him the same numbers that he had last year and half of his touchdowns, you know who he is?
He would, Kyle Rudolph?
No, Larry Donnell. And Larry Donnell was the number 12 tight end. So, in standard leagues last year. So if you give him right around 40 catches, right around, 500 some odd yards and 6 touchdowns.
I think it was actually less than that.
Whatever it was, the numbers.
Yeah, he had a ton of touchdowns, yep. And there's no way you can figure him to have that type of touchdown production in Jacksonville. How about this? Blake Bortles doesn't have a good track record throwing to his tight ends. Go back to his days at Central Florida.
I always find that deceiving, though. You never know who his tight ends were. I mean, I certainly don't. I don't know.
I don't know. I like that, though. I like a collegiate quarterback who use tight ends and being able to, you know, follow that because that's what he's used to.
Well, Andrew Luck
certainly uses
tight ends.
One of the reasons why I like
Austin
Seferian Jenkins.
Andrew Luck uses tight ends quite a bit, and he's certainly been.
And look at how his tight ends did last year.
But he's been no slouch for wide receivers. He's just throwing so much now.
Right.
You're right. You're not wrong. You are right.
It's an important trait.
Other guys who fell a lot: Pierre Garçon, D'Angelo Williams, Eric Decker, Dan Heron, Devin Funchess.
I got Decker, like...
11th pick of round 13.
Yeah. Just ridiculous how far he fell. I didn't need him, but there were no running backs left that I even liked, so I took him.
And one pick after Decker was Devin Funchess, who was a big faller. Fell about 3 rounds.
Awesome.
Well, I thought you said that there was talk about Funchess... Blah, blah,
he's
blah.
Had a good offseason by all accounts. So, you know, it's a byproduct of Kelvin Benjamin being overweight and dealing with a hamstring problem. It's a byproduct of he said he wasn't healthy his junior season at Michigan. And, you know, look, this is a team that needs weapons. This is a, the argument against Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen is that there's potentially a guy in Funchess who is going to steal targets because he's a superior talent to what they've had at that number two spot last year. You also have, you know, you go back 2 years ago to what Ted Ginn did for this team, and he's back in the mix. You know, so there's two other guys, and again, nobody's drafting Ted Ginn, and you're going to see Devin Funchess in most drafts that go 14 rounds not get drafted. And I think that's just going to be a byproduct of, you know, better talent out there. But Devin Funchess is going to be a thorn in the side of Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen because those two guys usurped every target last year because there was no one else.
Well, there was Jericho Cotchery.
And, yeah,
and that's
again,
pretty much his competition for the starting job. I don't know how many targets Cotchery had. It couldn't have been that many. It's going to come down to just how much Cam likes him and what kind of an opportunity he will get to start the season. But he's worth a pick. He's worth a 13th round pick for sure.
Sure.
Okay, guys. We'll go over our teams now. Just quickly here. Would you like me to read them or will you read them yourselves?
Why don't you read them because your voice is sexy.
My voice is fading.
So do you want us to do it then?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whose team should I go
Dave,
with?
Dave, read your team.
Okay. I started off going receiver heavy, had to bulk up at running back later on, and took good values at quarterback and tight ends when they were available. My starting lineup is Matt Ryan at quarterback, Frank Gore and Isaiah Crowell at running back, Demaryius Thomas and Antonio Brown at wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, not Blengerman, is going to be my flex. Dwayne Allen at tight end. The Jets DST I'm trying to get in every single draft. Chandler Catanzaro is my kicker. And here are my bench warmers. Eric Decker, Chris Ivory, David Cobb, Bishop Stanky, John Brown is one of my favorite sleepers at wide receiver. And then a quarterback in Southern California by the name of Philip Rivers.
Well, you know what they say. You have to have at least three Jets on your fantasy team or else you're in trouble. And you've got that. Luckily, they're all on your bench.
I have a question, and this is just a...
But what's the defense? I don't think that counts.
A general thing that we probably don't talk enough about given his age. So Frank Gore's 32. He's going to one of the more prolific offenses if, you know, not a... Or certainly a chance to be the best offense in the NFL. Why are we not telling people who to draft as his handcuff, and why didn't you not draft his handcuff?
I'm not sure who it is.
Well, let's just right now, it's probably Dan Heron. Josh Robinson.
I might disagree.
Has a chance to unseat him. But
what about Vic Ballard? He's there too.
I don't know if he makes the
reconstructed
roster.
Knees.
I think it's between those two guys. But let's assume based on what he did last year, clearly he helped them in their playoff run. Dan Heron was a fairly successful running back for them.
Okay.
He can pass protect, catch the ball in the backfield, and that's a big part
fumble.
of what the Colts want to do. Why not just speculate and take that guy as opposed to taking the two Titans running backs? You'd much rather have the Colts starter, right, than the Titans starter.
Of course. But I want to make sure that I've got a starter on a different team in case of emergency on top of everything else. I could have not taken Eric Decker or Philip Rivers for sure.
Right. That's my point.
And I can still go and find one of the running back who I need, whether it's Josh Robinson or Heron or Vic Ballard, whoever it is in Indianapolis. I could certainly go and pick them up off waivers. I don't think any of them were picked in this draft.
Well,
part of the appeal with Gore is that if you do decide to handcuff him, you should be able to do it without anybody stopping you. I don't think anybody's on the hunt for Robinson or Ballard or Heron.
But see, here's the argument to that, though. If you're drafting, a lot of leagues draft preseason, training camp, stuff like that.
Middle of July, you're
right.
saying?
No, not middle of July, but beginning of August, you know, okay. Depending on. We're going to get a lot of emails from this weekend because of holiday weekend. People get together and they say, let's hold our drafts because we could all be in person. So the leagues that draft early, you're in a situation where you say, I can go get them off waivers. If Frank Gore tears his ACL in training camp and we don't open waivers until the first week of the season, which we won't, you're not going to get Dan Heron if he's the starter.
Tears his ACL in training camp. I mean, you can't plan for that.
Well, you can.
Jamie's point is I should plan for something. I think it'll be a group of running backs in Indianapolis. I don't think Dan Heron is a do-it-all guy. I think he is passing downs guy.
Sure, which is why they
wedged into work because Trent Richardson was a bonehead last year.
Totally understandable. But he also, and Chuck Pagano strikes me as a what have you done for me lately, and Dan Heron helped them significantly last
year.
He
was so good that they drafted a running back and signed a free agent.
Well, no one is saying that he's the starter, which is why they went out and they addressed the position. But clearly he is a guy that helped them. And the biggest thing that he did, which I doubt Josh Robinson will do, and Vic Ballard can't stay healthy, is he did not allow Andrew Luck to take hits. And if you can pass protect at any...
How many fantasy points do you get for that?
You get on the field. And if you're on the field in a good offense, that tends to help you.
Okay.
Anybody want to read Jamie's team?
I'd be happy to do it.
Okay.
So I have it right here in front of me. Jamie, where'd you pick in the draft?
Second.
That's why you have Jamal Charles on your team. All right. His running backs are Jamal Charles and Latavius Murray. Ben Roethlisberger is his quarterback. Randall Cobb, Alshon Jeffrey at wide receiver. Martellus Bennett at tight end. Your flex as of now is Ameer Abdullah, but your other choices are Danny Woodhead, Zach Stacy, Monte Ball, Martavis Bryant. I love that pick. Buck Allen with Baltimore and Charles Johnson. You also did not handcuff your pick, but I'm sure that was not by design. That was because somebody took Nile Davis in front of you.
Yep.
Your kicker is Connor Barth. And Kansas City is your defense.
It's Bartholomew.
So, how many Chiefs do you have on your team? You've got two. You would have had three if you had Kelsey.
I took the Chiefs not because they were the highest-ranked DST on the board, is because of their week one opponent.
Who do they have?
Not somebody good.
Which is who?
I forget at the time. Might be Oakland.
Let me see.
I'm going to say I'm not. This is not my favorite Jamie team.
I do not like my bench running backs at all. I will be dropping Zach Stacy for Jordan Cameron the minute waivers open. So I'll have another option.
Oh, God, it's just you're reminding me that this league is real, which sucks.
Well, at Houston.
Oh, that's what it was, because their quarterback situation is terrible.
Right.
I don't like my backup running backs at all. That's the flaw of this team and why I regret with Martellus Bennett. I like Danny Woodhead. I think he's going to go much later than people realize how good he was 2 years ago. Better in PPR leagues and standard formats, but he still has the opportunity in an offense that's going to give him more work than I think people realize. And Monte Ball is a lottery ticket, because if C.J. Anderson gets hurt and follows the pattern of Denver running backs the last 3 years, he can end up being a starter.
Sure. All right. My team. Eli Manning. Is my quarterback. I had the ninth overall pick. Sorry, just getting the team up here.
Do you want me to read your team?
No, that's okay.
Is it your sore throat?
I got it. Eli Manning, Lamar Miller, and Joseph Randall, Julio Jones, Andre Johnson, Rob Gronkowski, and Duke Johnson is my flex. This team is terrible.
Well, I don't think so.
Really?
Honestly, I don't think it's as bad as you're making it out to be.
It's just that when you see Gronk, it's hard to like feel good about the Gronk team sometimes because, you know, you're so weak at another position.
But keep going. Keep reading your team.
Yeah, my bench is good. Teddy Bridgewater, Doug Martin, Andre Williams, Devontae Parker, Allen Robinson, and Matt Jones, I think, could have a good year because I don't believe in Alf. And I have the Panthers DST and some kicker, Sean Sweesham.
I loved your Allen Robinson pick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't think this seems bad at all, Adam.
I think I would have liked my team so much better if Stafford had fallen to me instead of Eli, but I'm so worried about left tackle derailing the Giants passing game. Not Beckham, but Eli.
Yeah, that could definitely be a problem.
All right. Well, we'll see. I like it better when Crowell is in there. Hey, maybe Doug Martin has a good year. Let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com, and we'll do more in our mailbag show tomorrow. Jason in Cape Coral, Florida, or some other city.
Let's go with Coral Cape, Florida.
I'm in an IDP league. Seems like the good IDP players change year to year, much more than the good offensive players. I'm considering punting on picking defensive players until the last rounds of the draft and focusing entirely on offense. Is that a bad strategy?
It's pretty much what I do in every IDP league I'm in. With the rare exception being I might try and get one really good IDP, but it's kind of got to fall to me. I'm talking about, you know, after the 60th overall pick, if there's a linebacker that just seems like a lock for 150 total tackles there, I'll consider it. The other thing I'll do before my IDP drafts is find one or two players who are kind of under the radar, but still did well last season. So if I'm in the league with a bunch of sharks, he probably won't actually make it to me. But last year, for example, Harrison Smith with Minnesota was an IDP I loved. And I got him at a very reasonable value in our draft, and I took him. And he was my first IDP player.
How many does he have to start, did he say?
Yeah, it doesn't say. It also depends on how many IDPs you need. If you only need, like, one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back, yeah, you can wait, and they'll be good ones. But, I mean, Jamie, and you know this, we play in a league where you've got to start three defensive linemen,
two
defensive linemen, three linebackers, three defensive backs or two?
Three.
Plus a flex.
Right.
So the positions get scarce quick.
Next email is from Jason in Lawton, Oklahoma. Keep three of these players in a PPR league. He has the 11th overall pick, if that matters. So keep three. It's PPR. Crowell in the 12th, Rivers in the 14th, Keenan Allen in the 10th, and Greg Olsen in the 8th, and Jonas Gray in the 12th. And he says keep up to three.
So you could keep none if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, Crowell makes too much sense. He's got to be one of the keepers. And for all the warts that are on Keenan Allen, he's still a great value as a 10th round pick.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only two I keep.
You wouldn't keep Greg Olsen in the 8th just to have him in the 8th in a PPR league? I would absolutely keep him.
I guess.
Do you think you can get him back in the 8th round of a 12-team PPR league?
Not with keepers, but, you know, it depends on who else is being kept and if everybody's keeping
right.
Three.
So your choices are throw Olsen back, keep Olsen for the 8th, keep Phillip Rivers in the 14th. You're going
to
be able
to
get him back.
Three.
Or I know. That's why I said throw him back or keep him or keep Rivers or keep Jonas Gray.
I'd keep Olsen.
You might as well keep Greg Olsen.
Yeah, keep Olsen.
What's the harm?
Sure.
BD in STL says, hey, Dave, Jamie, and Adam.
Who are those guys?
I'm going to Google Dave, Jamie, and Adam and just make sure we're not missing anything. 12-team PPR auction keeper league. I'm seriously considering throwing all of my players back with the exception of one. Would you keep Jimmy Graham for $15 out of 100? Or would you rather keep Julian Edelman for $14? And it's PPR.
I'm keeping Graham at 15.
He can't keep both?
He could. Would you keep both?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, you're talking about Edelman in that spot. Last year would have been consecutive seasons with 100-plus catches. He missed the final two games because of a concussion, so he was on pace for 100 catches. He's going to get you 1,000 yards, and he's probably going to get you 6 to 8 touchdowns. And so if the thought is, if you're in the camp of Tom Brady's going to come out, you know, PO'd after everything that happened to him, depending on how long the suspension is, it's not going to happen without somebody like Edelman putting up decent, if not great, stats. So I don't have a problem with that at all.
If you Google our names, a podcast site called podbay.fm comes up, but also a YouTube video, Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg feed each other.
Nice.
So if you've never seen that, you don't want to check that one out. It's a lot of fun.
No, you don't want to check that out.
Yeah,
it's disturbing.
Jacob from Arkansas here. Longtime listener, standard 12-team league. So I know that you should obviously shy away from picking too many players with the same bye, but what about the same team? I've done a few mocks where I get DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. Then I also have the Eagles DST and Cody Parkey. What do you think?
I don't have a problem when it's specifically a running back plus a kicker plus a D. To me, it's not that big of a deal. It's when you get the quarterback and a running back and a wide receiver from the same team or, you know, running back, a tight end.
Well, it's all case specific. You're not going to be upset if you get Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, and Eddie Lacy.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that's a great situation to be in, you know, and if you're talking about, you know, if he has, you know, Murray and Matthews, which is smart, and then he ends up saying, okay, the best quarterback, you know, let's just say Bradford comes in and lights things up. That's probably a bad example because nobody's considering Bradford as a starter. But if that was the case, you know, then you're kind of locking yourself into a situation where probably not the greatest. But, you know, if you can get three elite level talents, you can get, you know, T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck, and Frank Gore. You know, Gore's going to be a fourth round guy by the time his ADP settles. Luck's going to be a first or second round guy.
Yeah, no.
And Hilton's
no,
probably going to be a third round guy.
No harm in that. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. I like it.
So it's case specific. You know, it's not something I think a lot of people should plan on doing outside of, you know, handcuffing your running back.
And last email, we'll do Jay in California. Dear the Bear, the hare, and the au pair.
That's very clever.
I would have thought I was the hare and the au pair, but generally, if I am torn between drafting or keeping two players, not including quarterbacks, I favor the quarterback and the system. What he means by this is, let's see. Most rankings have T.Y. Hilton and DeAndre Hopkins neck and neck. It seems to me that I would much rather have a wide receiver that will be a favorite and most likely lead targets in a fantastic passing offense with a questionable defense instead of the clear-cut number one in an iffy at best passing offense with a pretty great defense. So I think what he's saying is you're comparing two players. Look at the team's quarterback and system. Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put DeAndre Hopkins on the Colts, he would have the chance to put up T.Y. Hilton-type numbers, if not better.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation for DeAndre Hopkins. The counter to that would be every year there's going to be somebody who surprises you. Josh Gordon, Odell Beckham. You know, there are guys that are in situations where, you know, either the system is not great or you don't know enough about the system or it's a new system and there's a bad defense along with it as well. You know, I don't know if Beckham is a fair comparison because obviously Eli's had past success, but think about where Eli was the 2 years prior to last year, you know. So there are obviously outliers to that, but yeah, there's a reason why, you know, I don't think it's just us that we have T.Y. Hilton ranked ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. I know for me it's closer than Dave, but, you know, that's when you start to nitpick, and clearly when you're looking at who has the higher ceiling, well, T.Y. Hilton has the best quarterback, or if not, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right. I'd argue that it's a tiebreaker if you're looking at two receivers and you're going to compare the quarterbacks and the offensive styles. You can go ahead and do that, but there are plenty of receivers that play with substandard quarterbacks and do well. A.J. Green being a pretty obvious one. Mike Evans last year had some pretty crappy quarterback play, and he was still awesome. And there's others, too.
Two of Kelvin Benjamin's best games last year came with Derek Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Good point.
Sure. Dave and Jamie.
And DeAndre Hopkins had a good year last year, who was Houston's quarterback.
Yeah.
So DeAndre showed last year that he's got potential, even in a run-first offense with bad quarterbacks.
Goodbye, Dave and Jamie.
Goodbye, au pair.
I look forward to trading with you. Everybody, thanks for listening. Email us.
Here we go.
What?
Oh, no, I will, but maybe I'll just wait until waivers open.
It's accept a trade. Fantasy football.
You haven't sent me the trade yet. I can't accept it.
FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Thanks a lot for listening. Back tomorrow with a mailbag show. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.